Well, good morning, church. How does Christmas go? Everyone have a good Christmas? Was it super simple? No. We preached on it for like 4 weeks, though. It should have been. Hey, we wrapped up kind of a simple Christmas series this last week for Christmas Eve services, but we're carrying it through this week, and we're talking about a simple beginning, because as we go into 2024, we end 2023, we're talking about what a simple beginning looks like. We're going to get more to that here in just a moment, but as Bree said, this is what we're calling Decision Sunday or Celebration Sunday. We're going to celebrate a lot of things this morning. I hope you guys are ready to celebrate and clap and rejoice and just have joy today. Today is going to be a special day, and it's so exciting. You're gonna be in for it today. So I want to start by celebrating just what God did through our church as we partnered with Open Arms this year. And so this was our first year we partnered with this organization called Open Arms, and God just really laid it on my heart and on our staff's heart to partner with them this year and helping provide some of these families that have chosen to have their baby but can't afford to buy their family any gifts this year. And so Bree and Jenna went to Open Arms and they said, hey, how can we partner with you? What would that look like? How can we come along and support you? And they said, man, if we came up with like a list of 10 families that just we knew were down and out and couldn't provide gifts, would your church be able to sponsor like 10 to 15 families? And we're like, in one service, we would do that. Like our first service would take 10 or 15 families. And they're like, really? Well, what if we got like 20? I said, you guys get as many families as you can put together, and I can promise you that our church will step up and sponsor those families and support those families and buy gifts for those families. Church, we had 56 families that we sponsored this year for Open Arms. Come on. And so real quick, we have a video from Vicky. She's the director of Open Arms, just thanking our church for that. So let's go ahead and watch this video.
Hey, Real Life Hayden, it's Jenna. And as you know, we've partnered with Open Arms this Christmas season to provide gifts for over 50 families. I'm here with Vicky, one of the directors, and she just had something she wanted to say, so.
Real Life, I'm overwhelmed. I'm struggling to keep back the tears right now. It is such a blessing to be on this side, to see the connections between what you have done and the clients that are going to receive from your generosity. The Lord is pouring out on these people like you can't believe. There's already been tears as we've heard the stories of who's getting what. God is just in his providence provided the exact gifts for the right person, and you guys have really gone above and beyond. We thank you so much. We have 51 families accounted for, and they're getting above and beyond what they asked for, so thank you for your generosity. This is my Christmas.
All right, we love you guys.
Thank you.
How cool is that? So I was able to go to Open Arms. We put on a Christmas party for their clients. And for the, Vicky said 51, ended up being 56 families. But for the 56 families, we put on this party for them where we brought in food. And I was able to read the Christmas story, the real Christmas story from the Bible to the kids there. And it was just incredible to see these families coming in. It was so awesome. One of the families sent an email to us and they said this: my husband and I would like to thank and lift up the family that bestowed a wonderful blessing to us. We don't know their name, but they chose our family for the Open Arms Christmas gift, and we are thankful. Thankful for them as well as Real Life Hayden for the Open Arms Christmas party. Our family had an unexpected vet bill that made it so we had to put all of our Christmas money towards it and were unable to buy gifts. This beautiful act from Real Life has blessed our family in so many ways. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. That has been one story of several that I've been able to hear of families that have just been like, if it wasn't for your church, we would not have been able to have the Christmas that we had. And guys, when I went to Open Arms that Wednesday before Christmas and saw the amount of gifts, I mean, she was walking us through the clinic and it was like every room was full of gifts. We told the families, we said, put down something you want, put down something you need, and we'll just kind of see what our church does. And if this was meeting their expectation and this is exceeding it, you guys were up here. I mean, it was like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and gifts, and just like this one family was like, you know what, we need a car seat and we'll put it down there as maybe some, and there was this brand new car seat. We need gift cards, we need gas cards, and there was hundreds of dollars. You guys, it was incredible. I was overwhelmed and it made me so proud to be a part of our church. Come on, give yourself a hand. Let's go. That is the church being the church right there. The church being the church isn't showing up on a Sunday and listening to good music and hearing a message. The church being the church is going outside these walls and loving like Jesus loved. So thank you for doing that. I'm proud to be a part of what God's doing. So today is Decision Sunday, Celebration Sunday. And what that means is that we are ending this year, 2023, and beginning the next year with just saying we need Jesus. We want more of Jesus. We're taking next steps with Jesus. This service is going to be all about Jesus and taking a next step with him and making a decision for him. And so we've already had, so last service, we had three people that came forward and said, you know what, I want to be obedient in baptism. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And we were able to celebrate this last service. Three people saying yes to Jesus. Can we celebrate that this morning? Now, this service, because you're the 9:45 service and you're extra spiritual and you got extra sleep, we have nine people this service that are saying yes to Jesus. Come on. And so we're just excited about that. And so at the very least, between the nine this service, three last service, and then the four we have next service, that's 16 people at least that are saying yes to Jesus and are being obedient in baptism. And I say at least because here's what we're doing today. Today we're not talking about New Year's resolutions. I could honestly care less about a New Year's resolution because 80% of them don't last past January. And if you've ever made a New Year's resolution, I see people going, yep, that's true. Still haven't completed that one from last year, right? And so I don't care to talk about resolutions. I care to talk about decisions. Today we're making decisions for Jesus. And so in your seat back pocket in front of you, there's this card on one side. It says information card. On the back side, it says decision card. Go ahead and pull that card out for me right now. Even if you have zero intention on filling anything out, I would love for you to humor me. Just grab that card, pick it out. And on the back, you can see that there are several decisions that we're saying, hey, you could make this decision today. You could accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you do that today, we're encouraging you because of what Scripture says. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, that next step down, get baptized. If you come forward today and you say, you know what, I want to accept Jesus and I want to get baptized, we will make room in this service to baptize you right here and right now. Now, I know what's going through your head because some of you are going, you know what? Maybe that's me today, but I didn't bring a change of clothes. Guess what? We brought one for you. We already thought through it all. We went and bought some shorts. We have some shirts. We have some undergarments. We thought through everything. I'll just tell you this. They're not the cutest, but they'll work, okay? They will allow you to get in this tank right here and make a decision for Jesus. And so today we're talking about decisions. Everyone say decisions. It's Decision Sunday. It's Celebration Sunday. You also, if you need us to call you, reach out to you, we're gonna have people that are up here that'd be willing to pray with you, over you, for you. And so during our worship today, we'll have people on both sides of the stage that if you need to come forward and receive prayer about anything, we'd love to partner with you in prayer. If you wanna give your life to Jesus, come and talk to these people. If you wanna sign up to get baptized, come and talk to these people and we'll have that conversation. And we'll make that happen right here and now in our service. And so this last sermon series that we were in before heading into the Christmas series that we were in, A Simple Christmas, it was a series called Rooted, and we talked about decisions. In one of the sermons, I talked about how everything we do starts with a decision. So whether it's our finances, our marriage, our parenting, or following Jesus, it starts with a decision. You make up your mind to do something. You make up your mind to not do something. And as we make these decisions in our life, oftentimes what we want to happen is we want there to be a desire that either comes immediately after it or the desire that prompts us to do it. See, we're desire-driven in our culture. We're feelings-driven. And if it doesn't feel right, then it must not be right. But the fact is that not all decisions that we make are going to come with the feelings and the desires that we would like. And so we make a decision to follow Jesus. We make a decision to be generous with our finances. We make a decision to be the spouse, the parent, the friend that God's called us to be. It starts with a decision. Now, oftentimes what will happen after that decision is made is it will become a discipline in our life. The more and more we decide to do that thing that we committed to doing, it becomes a discipline in our life. And we just routinely will now do that thing. This is where now, once it becomes a discipline in our life, this is where the desire now comes in. We've made the decision, it's become a discipline, and now we have this desire inside of us because it's become a habit and a discipline that now the desire begins to follow. Now I actually want to do that thing I committed to doing, or I don't want to do that thing that I said I would stop doing. The desire will follow. And as that decision becomes a discipline, becomes a desire, then now shapes our destiny. It becomes a part of who we are and it leaves a legacy behind of what we want to do. And so this is kind of the progression of this decision making. And so again, whether it's following Jesus for the first time, recommitting your life to Jesus, being baptized, whatever that decision is, there's going to be disciplines that are going to follow that. And so when I first gave my life to Jesus and I realized I needed to know more about who Jesus is and this God that I'm serving, and I decided that I was going to commit to reading my Bible and being consistent with that, I said, okay, well, I actually have to make time in my day now to read his word. The decision was to follow Jesus. Well, now there's got to be a discipline that follows that. I'm going to read my Bible. When is that going to happen? I'm not a nighttime person. I got to go to work. I don't want to come home and do it. I'm trying to spend time with my kids. It's got to be in the morning. And so what happened is it started out by 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, as life got busier and more responsibilities are on my plate, and I realized, well, I still want to have time to do other things in the morning. Well, now I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And now, as my life has progressed, I now get up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and read my Bible. It's not because I have a desire to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Let me tell you that. It's because I've been disciplined and I have a desire to know Jesus. So my desire is in line with the discipline that I've made based on the decision that I made. This is how this progresses. Now, as we make a decision for Jesus, would you agree, church, if you're following Jesus right now, would you agree that making a decision for Jesus is the most important decision that you can make in your life? Hands down, the most important decision you can make in life is to follow Jesus. It's not the easiest, it's not the most convenient, but it is the best decision that you can make. And if you have not followed Jesus, if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, here's what I'll tell you. You'll never experience true peace. You'll never experience his purpose for your life. And you'll never experience the hope that is in Jesus. Hope is a really, really interesting thing, especially this time of year, as the holidays are coming to an end and the grind of the winter is entering in. And it's dark out and it's cold out, and maybe the holidays didn't go as you planned, and maybe there was some disappointment, and this time of year, there's less and less hope, which is why this time of year, we see more and more anxiety, we see more and more depression, and we see more and more suicide that takes place this time of year. And there's reasons that go into that, and there's nuances to that. I'm not going to pigeonhole the reason that those things happen to one thing, but I will say this. I believe a huge contributing factor to the rise in those things happening this time of year is the lack of hope that people experience this time of year, or the lack of hope that they don't realize that they have through a relationship with Jesus. Hope is found three ways, and it all has to do with Jesus. It's found in the person of Jesus. It's found in the promises of Jesus, and it's found in the purposes of Jesus. The person of Jesus, John 14:6, It says, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, this is where hope comes from. It comes in the person of Jesus, a relationship with the creator of the universe, the one who breathed galaxies into existence, the one who formed us with his hands and breathed the breath of life into us. It comes from a relationship with him. And only through Jesus can we have access to God the Father and eternity in heaven. That's where our hope is found, is in the person of Jesus. Now, as we place our faith in him and as we find our hope in him, we now find our hope in the promises of Jesus, the promises that we see in his word. Let me just read two to you, two promises, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament that should bring hope to our lives and to this season that we're in. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. This is as the Israelites are heading into the promised land. Says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. This is a promise of scripture that today, if you feel lonely, if you feel abandoned, if you feel rejected, if you feel despised, if you feel like everyone has gone away from you, today the promise that you need to hear is God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He is always with you. And Jesus echoed these words in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, when he commissions his apostles to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And he ends by saying this, and I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. See, a promise that brings us hope is that God is always with us. Now, a promise that's brought me a lot of hope in the last 2 months has been this passage found in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Really, the whole passage, the whole chapter of Romans 8 is beautiful, and it talks about God's love for us. But listen to this promise that has brought me so much hope, and I hope it brings you the same. It says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Just stop right there. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate you, me, us, from God's love. There's nothing. God is always with us. God's always gonna love us. No matter what we do, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing, God's love remains the same. On your good days, he loves you. On your bad days, he loves you. When you read your Bible, he loves you. When you don't read your Bible, he loves you. When you show up to church, he loves you. When you get baptized, he loves you. When you say things you shouldn't say, he loves you. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. And he goes on to say, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, thinking about anxiety this time of year and depression and suicidal thoughts and suicidal ideations and thinking about our fears and our worries and our anxiety. He says, those things don't separate you. Even though you may be fearful right now, fearful of things today, fearful of things tomorrow, your anxieties, your depression, those things don't separate you from God's love. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who here is thankful for that this morning? So these are the promises of Jesus. Now the purposes of Jesus, the purposes. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it talks about, it says, by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your works. It's nothing that you've done. It's a gift of God, lest any of us could boast about it. He said, but we're saved by grace through faith. And then immediately after Paul tells us in Ephesians that we're saved by his grace through faith in Jesus, he says in Ephesians chapter 10 that we are his masterpiece, his workmanship, his prized possession, his crowning achievement. Like, we are God's masterpiece. Now listen to this. He has created us what? Say that word. Anew. Listen, we're going into a new year and we're celebrating new things. It's a new year. There's new perspective. There's new opportunities. And we're starting out 2024 anew. And as people surrender to Jesus, they are anew in Christ Jesus. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Listen, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Before you were born, before you surrendered to Jesus, before you got baptized, before you filled out the spiritual gift assessment that maybe you've taken, before you took your personality test, God already knew how he created you, how he designed you, and what his plan for you was, and what he wanted you to do. If you would have told me 14 years ago, a year before I surrendered to Jesus, 14 years ago, if you'd have told me, you're gonna be a pastor, you're gonna lead a church, and you're gonna preach messages about Jesus, I would have laughed you straight out of the room that you were standing in. If you'd have told me that I'd be in the position that I am today, by saying yes to Jesus, I'd say you're crazy. But Christ has made me anew because of my relationship with him. And because the Holy Spirit fills me and helps me become more and more like Jesus, I'm a new creation in him. And he's planned these things for me long ago, long before I had any clue what my life would be like. Jesus knew. See, his purposes for me, his purposes for you bring us hope. Our hope is found in the person, the promises, and the purposes of Jesus. And this is what brings us hope. And this is why we make the decisions that we make to follow Jesus, because of that hope. Now, we're saying this is Decision Sunday. This is Celebration Sunday. Now, this isn't the first Decision Sunday that's ever taken place. In fact, the first Decision Sunday that took place happened about 2,000 years ago. And I don't know if it was on a Sunday or not, but it was the first Decision Day. And this was on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus had just ascended to heaven. This was Decision Sunday. Because the disciples, the 120 of them, were gathered together in the upper room. And they're praying and they're seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, tongues of fire fall on the apostles' head and they begin to speak in these new languages and they begin to speak in these different tongues and the Holy Spirit fills them right where they are. And all the people from all the area were in Jerusalem for this holy day of Pentecost, here to celebrate this holy day. And the disciples, they go out there and they begin to speak and preach Jesus in this language. And they're like, how are we hearing this? How is this possible? And Peter gets up and he begins to preach Jesus and preach the reality that God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, and Jesus was the Messiah, and you just killed him. And they respond by saying this: dear brothers, what shall we do? In other words, okay, we realize that we messed up. We realized that what we did was wrong. We realized that we missed it. We've sinned. What do we need to do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This was Decision Sunday. This was a group of people who were having to make a decision. Do we continue with trying to be good enough and follow the law? Or do we surrender to Jesus, realize that what we did was wrong, realize that we missed it, we missed our Messiah, and we need to repent and we need to be baptized? See, they made a decision that day. In fact, 3,000 people made a decision that day. What a Decision Sunday that would be. What a Celebration Sunday that would be, as 3,000 people said yes to Jesus and were baptized that day. I don't know how that would be possible. This water would be so gross after that. That would just be gross. It was Decision Sunday. And today, you all have a decision. What's your decision? What's your decision gonna be? And instantly, as these people, as they made this decision, they were made new. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. He's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so when you surrender to Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit into your life to make you new. And this is where you might ask the question, well, if I've surrendered my life to Jesus and I've been baptized, then what do you have for me today? This is what I have for you today. Each and every day is an opportunity for you to be new in Christ Jesus, for you to take a step in the direction of Jesus, to be more like him. Do you need more love today? Do you need to be more loving? Do you need to have more joy? Do you need to have more peace? The fruit of the Spirit inside of you and what he's producing in us every single day is an opportunity to be more and more like Jesus. And if you look the same today as you did yesterday or the year before or the decade before that, then maybe you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to make you new. Every day is an opportunity for us to be new in Christ Jesus. to be more like him? Where do you need to be renewed? Paul goes on in Romans to say, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We're baptized into his death. As Jesus died, so I died with him. The old Gabe of 13 years ago, the sinner, the one who is rejecting Jesus, that Gabe is dead. That Gabe does not exist anymore. See, I'm dead to that person. That person is buried. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so now as I raise to walk in newness of life, it goes on to say, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is what baptism is symbolizing. It's I'm dying to my old self and I'm being raised to walk a new life. And not a new moment. It's a new life. As I live my life for Jesus each and every day, I'm going to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be more and more like Jesus every single day. So what do you need the Holy Spirit to renew you in? Church, what do you need the Holy Spirit to renew you in today? Maybe it is a new life. Maybe it's new hope. Whatever that is, today's the day that we can make that decision to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in our life that he wants to do. So I'm gonna ask you right now, would you just stand up? And these guys are gonna lead us in some songs today. We're gonna worship him and this is gonna be the celebratory part of the service, and we're gonna celebrate him. We're gonna worship him. We're gonna do some baptisms. It's gonna be a really, really fun time. But here's what you need to know today is that if you need to take a next step for Jesus, if you need your life to be renewed, we're gonna have people that are gonna be up here. Come forward and come and talk with us. We'd love to have that conversation with you. You can be next in making that decision for Jesus. A new year, a new you, following Jesus. And so, church, maybe you need a new life today. You need Jesus. Maybe you're wanting more peace today. You need Jesus. Maybe you're needing new joy today. You need Jesus. Maybe you're needing a new perspective today. You need Jesus. Maybe you're needing the hope that I'm talking about today. You need Jesus. So we're gonna start out this year, 2024, with Jesus, speaking Jesus, praising Jesus, worshiping Jesus, shouting Jesus, and worshiping him for who he is today. So church, let's do this today. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's sing Jesus. Let's speak Jesus out together. Shout Jesus for